Okay, so in the parsha, there's a very interesting pasuk. It says that they did a korban pesach shein. They did a korban pesach, and none of the neviim had just died, right? The inauguration of the Mishkan just happened, and none of the neviim had died, and so the people that had to bury them were tamei lenefesh. They were tameim. And it turns out that their taira was going to be that day, but it wasn't in time to do the Korban Pesach. And so we were saying how the people were burying Nadav and Avihu, who just died in the inauguration of the Mishkan, and so they were tameh because they had touched the dead bodies, and they started the Tahara process. They were doing it, but that night was when they were doing the Korban Pesach, so they were just missing it. It says in the Pesach, they just missed it. So Achlok is in the Gemara exactly what the case was, but they Lamai said they missed, they weren't going to be able to be doing the Korban Pesach. And they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Pesach, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Lama Nigara. We are tamei. It's not our fault. We're tamei. Lama nigara. Why do we lose out? Why do we have to lose out? And the question is, what do you mean lose out? You're butter. You're butter. You're butter from doing the korban. You're not losing out. You're butter. You're onus. All right? They can do the korban pesach. Everybody's doing korban pesach. They're not going to do it. So they're coming and complaining. What are you complaining about? What do you mean? You're butter from doing it. What's your problem? You're not going to get punished. You're not going to get punished for not doing the Korban Pesach. You're not able to do it. You're potter. What's the problem? So Rav Nemtzal explained once with a story that it says in the Zohar. It says in the Zohar that there was two Rabbanim were on a mission. They were going from town to town, it sounds like. And they stopped by in a certain town. And a mother wanted to bring her little child to meet these two great Rabbanim when they come to the town. And so she brought him into the place where the Rabbanim were standing, receiving people. And the child said, I'm not going near them. And the mother said, well, when you want, why not? Come meet these Gedolei Torah, these Gedolei Torah Rabbanim. And the child said, no, 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 they smell. They smell? What do you mean they smell? So he explained, I smell on them, that I smell on them that they haven't said Kriya Shema. They didn't say Kriya Shema. Whoa. That's pretty intense. It's a pretty good nose that kid has, right? I smell that they didn't say Kriya Shema today. That's what it says in the Gemara. And the Zohar. And sure enough, the Rabbanan said, he's right. We did not say Kriya Shema. But it's because we were honest. We were against our will. We were in the middle of doing the mitzvah of Chasas Kala. That's why we're traveling. We're trying to gather funds for a Kala who needs money. And we simply did not have the time. We simply were too busy. And the din is, the truth is, that the halacha does state, Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. If you're in the middle of doing one mitzvah, you don't stop to do another mitzvah. You don't stop. You have to continue doing your mitzvah. Famous story was in Europe, when the Gedolei Torah got together in order to discuss, if I'm not mistaken, it was the decrees of the Tsar against the Jews in Tsarist Russia before communism. There was a conscription decree that they were conscripting Jews into the Russian army, like at a very young age, when they were in the army for 25 years. 25 years. They weren't able to go home. They were in the army, in the Russian army for 25 years, starting from when they were very young, like 15 years old. Which means that you have a 15-year-old kid, goes into the army for 25 years, he comes back home, He's 40 years old. He's 40 years old. He goes back home. That's a 40-year-old man. All his entire adult life has been with the thugs of the Russian army. They came back home. They were unrecognizable. And so it was a terrible, terrible time in the Jews in Russia. And so they were discussing what they could do about it. And it was they were discussing all day. All day they had been discussing. They were talking. They, you know, all the Gedolim of Europe had gotten together. They were discussing it. And it was getting close to Shkia. And one of the Rebbeim got up and said, Ashrei, it's Dam Mincha. And if I'm not mistaken, it was the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim thundered. And he said, no Mincha. No Mincha. Osek mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. We are in the middle of discussing very important things. Ma pitom Mincha. No Mincha. Cancel Mincha. This is, we're in the middle of dealing with a crisis in Klal Yisrael. You don't stop Dam Mincha for that. We're in the middle of doing a mitzvah. You don't stop for that. And they didn't Dam Mincha. They didn't Dam Mincha that day. And that's what happened with these Rabbanim. The Rabbanim said, he's right. The child is right. We didn't say Kriya Shema today, but we have an explanation. We were in the middle of doing the Hakhnasa Skala. We were in the middle. We were honest. We were against our will. We were in the middle of doing another mitzvah. Osek mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. Yes. But they still stink. They still smelled. The child smelled them. And whoever it was, it's Machlokas who they were. But the people in our parsha also, it was against their will. They were totally legit. They had done a mitzvah. They had done a big mitzvah. They had buried those people. Not of an avil. That's a big mitzvah. But they didn't want to smell. They didn't want to have that stink on them. Lama Nigara. I think that you could even say it's not just about the stink. What you see from them, from these people in the parsha, is that Torah and mitzvot is not just something that we do because we're obligated to do it. It's a schus to do it. We want to do it. It's something that we want to do because we want to accomplish and we want to grow and we want to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we do it. It's not because we have to do it. It's not because we're forced to do it. And then if you get out of it, oh, so what's the problem? Why are you complaining? I'm on your putter. What are you? You're not going to get punished. It's not about the punishment. It's about an opportunity. Judaism looks at life as life full of opportunities. Life is full of chances, opportunities to get close to Hashem, to get zchuyos, to be more spiritual, to grow bigger than yourself. To become bigger than what you are. That's what life is all about. And the people in our parsha, they knew that. They realized that. And they said, Lama Nigara. Why are we going to be Nigara? What does Nigara mean? So literally it means, I mean, the way that we've been translating it means that we lose out. But Nigara, Gara means worse. Like to be less. We don't want to be less. We want to have that skus also. We want to be big. We want to grow. We don't want to lose out on that. And they were right. Because Moshe says, let's talk to God, let's ask God. And Hashem said, we'll make Pesach Sheni. There's going to be something called Pesach Sheni. A second chance for you to be able to do that mitzvah. Fascinating topic, not for now. Why, Dafka, is there Pesach Sheni, a second chance? Why is there any, like, Sukkah Sheni or anything else like that? In fact, there was one time during Klal Yisrael's history where a wicked king actually did make a Sukkot Sheni, a very interesting concept against the Torah. He was worshiping a Bodhisattva, but the point is that that did exist. Right? Well, why doesn't it exist, right? Why is it not true? Okay, not for now, but the bottom line is that we have to look at the Torah. It's a paradigm shift over here, what the Torah is telling us. Torah and mitzvot are not a burden. Torah and mitzvot are not things that we have to do, nebuch. We have to do them. No, tournaments are opportunities. Life for a Jew is filled with opportunities to mamish gems. Like the famous mashal. You guys, I'm sure you've heard the mashal of the guy who goes to the faraway island to make money because there's diamonds in the street, and then he gets caught up in the chicken fat. You guys know that story? You never heard that story? Okay, so it's worth it to say the story, just even just for one person. It's good chazara. It's a mashal that was made, by the way, the Chafetz Chaim made this mashal. Chafetz Chaim came up with this mashal. There was a man who was very poor, and he was desperate to finally break out of a situation. He was a worker. He worked hard, but it's hard. It's hard to make money. And he heard that there's an island far away. It takes a year to get there by boat and all these things. But on that island, there's literally diamonds on the street, just on the floor, literally, for anybody to take. And you could just go there, pocket some diamonds, and come back and be a millionaire. So he's like, I got to do this. So, but it costs a lot of money. It takes a year to get there. So he saved and he scrimped until finally he had enough money to pay for the voyage. And he went and he got off the boat, and sure enough, there's mamish diamonds littering the street. And he's like, this is insane. So he starts grabbing diamonds. He's like, you know, fresh off the boat. He's like so excited. He starts grabbing these diamonds, stuffing them in his pockets. And he takes bags and starts filling them with diamonds. He's like so excited. Eventually, he got hungry. So he went to the local supermarket and he wanted to get some food. So he goes in and he wants some food, and he says, you know, he takes some food. He goes to the checkout counter and he says, okay, you know, I want to buy this food. Like, how much does it cost? So he said, oh, it costs whatever it is, this and this and that. No problem here. Diamonds are worth much more than that. And the guy's like, diamonds? Are you joking? That's dirt in this country. Nobody cares about diamonds. It's worth nothing. You need to pay with chicken fat. Chicken fat? Yeah, that's the currency here. What matters here is chicken fat. Diamonds are nothing. Diamonds is, people walk on diamonds in the street. It's not worth anything. You can't pay on this island with diamonds. You have to go get chicken fat. Chicken fat, you can pay money. So chicken fat is crazy, okay? So fine. He has no choice. He has to go out and start, you know, getting some chicken fat. So he goes and he buys somehow, you know, he convinces somebody to let him work for him. And yeah, he gets paid with chicken fat at the end of the day. And okay, now he's able to eat. And, you know, he's a hard worker. So he starts, you know, being very industrious. The guy sees that he's really good. So he can trust him with more chickens. You know, he has another year before he gets off this island, right? It takes a year to get there, and then the next boat is another year. And he's there, and he's working for this guy, and then he makes enough chicken fat to be able to start on his own, and he has his own chickens, and he starts making his own money, and pretty soon, his mom is raking it in. He's got vats and vats of chicken fat on this island, and he's become one of the major players in the business world of this island. He's done amazing. And the boat comes to take him back to his family, back to his home country. And he's so happy because he's really made it in this country. He has these vats and vats of chicken fat. He's going to be wealthy as anything when he goes back. So he loads up the boat with these vats of chicken fat, and he goes and he takes the voyage. And, of course, what happens halfway through the voyage? Vats of chicken fat. What's going to happen? They start spoiling. They start stinking. The entire boat stinks to high heaven. And he's just appalled. All of his wealth, all of his money is gone. And the people on the boat, the sailors, they dump it all overboard. They chuck the whole thing. All of his money, all those vats of chicken fat. He had so much money chucked into the ocean. He loses everything, all of his vast fortune. And he's broken. His mom is broken. He spent the year away from home, and he made all that money. And all that money is gone. He lost everything. And he gets off the boat when he's back at home. And all of a sudden, he remembers why he went there, Bechlal, in the first place. He didn't go there for chicken fat. He went there for diamonds. And his wife meets him at the docks. And she says to him, where are the diamonds? Were there really diamonds there? He's been gone for 3 years. Were there really diamonds there? God, the whole point, I forgot it. I got so involved with the chicken fat, I forgot the whole thing. And he can't explain it to her. He just goes home, He's so upset. He just takes off his coat, falls onto bed, and just goes into depression and sleep. His wife doesn't cop what's going on. She doesn't get it. But she's like, okay, I don't know, whatever. I'll wash his coat. You know, he came home, I wash his coat. She's going through his coat, you know, take out the stuff in the pockets, and she finds in one of the inside pockets a whole handful of diamonds from that very first day, that very first hour when he got off the boat. And he was so excited, and he started grabbing all the diamonds. He still had it in his inside coat pocket, a handful of diamonds. And she's ecstatic. It's a fortune. And when he wakes up, and he's still all depressed, and she says to him, Yanko, wow, I don't know what you're upset about. Well, you did it. We made it. We're rich. I said, what are you talking about? And he says, and she tells him, there was a handful of diamonds in the coat pocket. It's enough to support our whole family for forever, for the rest of our lives. And he realizes, okay, at least he got those few diamonds that he got in the first moment. Gave him a little bit of a chumah. But the point of the story is that he got totally enmeshed in the chicken fat. Guys, what is the chicken fat? What are the diamonds? The diamonds are the mitzvos. In this world, nobody cares about mitzvos. They get trampled on. They're literally all over the streets. There's opportunities to do mitzvos every moment of our lives, and nobody cares about them. They're just literally on the street, trampled on. What does everybody care about? Chicken fat. Everybody cares about chicken fat. We got to make money. We got to make lots of money. We have to get business. We got to do this. We got to do that. We have to make. So we got to eat. We're here. We got to eat. So we have to eat. So you got to make money. Got to make money. So make more money. And that becomes everything. That becomes our obsession. And we forget about the diamonds. Why are we here? Why are we here in this world? We're here to collect diamonds. We're not here to collect chicken fat. What happens when you get a lot of chicken fat when you go to the grave? It starts rotting. Right? Your body starts rotting in the grave and it starts stinking up to high heaven. That wasn't what you were here for. You were here to collect diamonds. So if we're Zoche, so we'll get to Shemayim and we'll have a few diamonds that we somehow collected along the way in our coat pockets. But we have to realize that every mitzvah is a diamond. Every mitzvah is a diamond, every moment in our lives is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to build our spiritual world, and be like the people that wanted to do Pesach Sheni. They didn't want to lose out. They didn't want to lose out. You're punter, but they didn't want to lose on that mitzvah. So we should also not want to lose out on our opportunities, and Mizrach Hashem will be Zoche, to recognize the opportunities as they come, recognize them for the diamonds that they are, and we'll be Zoche to live life the way it should be lived.